Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, me. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news show on the United Stand every morning at 10 o'clock, where we react to all the big stories coming out. So we're going to be starting off tonight, this morning, and this afternoon, depending on where you're watching from, on this £250 million budget. Now, normally we speculate about a £250 million budget, but this is actually based in fact. The financials came out from Man United yesterday, and a couple of journalists have been speaking on what Man United can spend. Now, they could actually spend more. We'll be delving into how United could and should and will spend this £250 million, because I think in reality, that means you can sign a Tonali and a Morgan Rogers and still have enough money left in the bank to get an Edison, a Fernandez, and a fullback. And we'll talk about how that can happen as well. We've also got updates on Tchouaméni. Obviously, I mentioned Tonali as well, the left-back situation, what's happening with Baleba, what's happening with Fernandez as well, and a few other bits on Scott and strikers. So lots to get into on the show this morning, reacting to everything that's come out since we spoke last night. So let's start off with this story that's coming out in relation to United's ability to spend. The Manchester Evening News has actually said that Manchester United could spend close to £300 million on transfers in this summer window, according to third quarter financial results. But a billion if they wanted to. I mean, we are a football club that could do that. But the main thrust of this is coming in from an article in the BBC by Simon Stone, where he says the club have confirmed that since reporting period ended on the 31st of March, they had paid off £110 million on their revolving credit facility. That is important because the facility is a key method of paying for transfers, and it means they have £250 million left to spend. Also within those accounts, United say they owe £405 million in outstanding transfer fees, 170 of which is due after more than 1 year. Also, we have the Champions League revenue to come in as well. So I think it's safe to say that United are in debt. And it's safe to say that United owe a lot of money in transfers as well. And it's safe to say Man United might not want to spend much at all. However, I think it's also safe to say that we can easily spend £250 million and the money is there. Now, remember, £250 million doesn't necessarily get spent. £250 million doesn't necessarily get spent. It's, in essence, it's if you buy, I don't know, Edison from Atalanta for 35 million, it might not be 35 million. It might be 10 this year, 20 next year, and 5 the year after. So how you spend that money is also dependent on the installments that you pay, because as it says there, we owe £170 million in transfer fees. We owe £400 million altogether in transfer fees. So it's not like we've got to spend the full 250 on two players or three players. We can have installments as well. How we're going to spend this money, I think, gets really interesting, because if United have anywhere near the appetite that we have to buy players, then I think that it's going to be a very, very interesting summer for Manchester United, because we can spend around £150 million on midfielders and still have another 100 to spend on other areas, which if we're not going to buy a winger, means that there is still a considerable amount of money to spend on potentially a striker, maybe another number 10, maybe a left back as well. So lots to get into. If you've got a problem with it being muted, just refresh because everyone else can hear. So let's talk about specific players this morning. But I just wanted to start off on that, because I think when when we speculate about the summer ahead, I think it's really important to figure out that actually there is considerable funds there to be spent. I just want to talk about Tchouaméni very, very quickly, because obviously there are updates on Tonali, there are updates on Morgan Rogers, and we can talk about those. But just in relation to Tchouaméni, I think there's a lot of good information out there and bad information out there. And I think sometimes somebody can give good information, then people think they know everything and they don't. So we were talking yesterday about how Favel is pushing for Tchouaméni as a Man United midfield option. And we're always going to get this spin. I actually predicted it about 2 weeks ago. I said, how long will it be until the spin comes out of the club that wonderful Wilcox is here and brilliant Berarda is here? And I saw a few things last night about how Manchester, and you've got to be very, very careful about this, because people get information from the club, but in return, you get something from the club and the club wants something back. Fact. That's just the way it works. So if the club give you something, you've got to do something in return. And who owns the club? Ineos and the Glazers. And what do they want? They want positivity about themselves and their employers, right? So obviously Ben Jacobs said yesterday that Favel was pushing for Tchouaméni. And then later on last night, I saw a couple of in-the-know people saying, this is nonsense. Manchester United have a holistic approach to transfers and they don't do anything unless everybody agrees it. And they all discuss it and there's loads of people involved. There's Data Dean, there's commercial, there's this, that and the other. And nobody does anything without Wilcox and everybody agreeing with it together. So it's not Favel who pushes a deal. Everybody does it together. And I thought, what a load of bollocks. I mean, this is clearly coming from people that are being told to say something or have never worked in an organisation before. Because Favel is not the director of football, Jason Wilcox is. And Jason Wilcox is not the CEO, Omar Berarda is. They don't all sit in a fucking room and go, let's all agree on everything and we won't leave unless we do. What a load of crap. That won't work. The whole point is having a chain of command. It won't work. And it's not what happens at Manchester United. People have to make decisions based upon their grade at that boardroom. So Michael Carrick can't walk in and say, I really, really, really want Hayden Hackney and we're not going anywhere until we agree on it, because someone will say no. So straight away, you don't get the agreement. Favel wanted Nagelsmann. It didn't happen. Favel likes Stiller. It's not going to happen. Jason Wilcox wanted Liam Delap. It very nearly happened, but Liam Delap chose Chelsea. Favel didn't want Delap. He wanted Sesko. So I haven't got a problem with this. There is a chain of command in Man United's boardroom. They don't all sit there together playing ring a ring of roses and decide on everything together. You get voted down. There is a final decision. That's what happens. That's what's happening at Manchester United. So when Ben Jacobs or anyone else says Favel is pushing for Tchouaméni, Favel is pushing for Tchouaméni, it doesn't mean that Wilcox or Berarda don't want Tchouaméni. They might go, that's a really good idea. We really like this. We're all in agreement. Yeah. Or they might go, Wilcox might be in agreement. Berarda might go, I really want a homegrown player. I'd rather get Wharton or Anderson. But he might get voted down. He might get persuaded. So Liam Delap was Wilcox. Wilcox had him at Man City and he pushed it and he persuaded everybody and he got the vote for it. And it didn't happen because he signed for Chelsea. There literally is people who disagree in that boardroom. There literally are deals we don't do because they get voted down. There literally are deals that we do because somebody's not unhappy, but three or four are happy. It's what you call democracy. They don't all agree on things. And I actually think that's a positive. And I don't know why United would try and pretend that it's not a positive. We need people with different skills in that boardroom putting up different arguments. Otherwise, they may as well put a bloody collar around their neck that says bloody Sheila the sheep or Sean the sheep. Because they can all go, bah, like there is conversations, disagreements, debates in that boardroom about what we're trying to do. And sometimes people get listened to, sometimes people don't. Favel wanted Sesko all summer. Sesko was Man United's fifth choice. We went Gyökeres first. We went Delap first. I think we were even thinking about somebody else before him as well. So this is a positive. This is a good thing. But I do wonder sometimes if United just try. It always happens in the summer. I think it's seen as an opportunity to try and make certain people look good who aren't necessarily that good. Wilcox is director of football. Berarda is CEO. And Favel has his own role as well. They don't all agree on things.
they don't all agree on things, and that's a good thing. And that's why certain players do get associated with certain people. Now, Morgan Rogers is a player that Man United, I would not be surprised if he's wearing a Man United shirt. Now, I obviously live around where Villa play, have a few contacts around that, knew about what was going on with Man United and Emery. It was a price thing. United wouldn't go anywhere near it. Emery never even got to speaking to him because ultimately he probably wouldn't want to be a head coach. With Morgan Rogers, it is fully expected from Villa that he will go this summer. They're not pushing him out the door, but there is an acceptance that he's done a good job at Villa and now is probably the time to cash in. And Villa do tend to sell a player every summer. Jacob Ramsey last year, Douglas Luiz the year before. So there is an acceptance that Morgan Rogers could be heading. Now, what I got told is that Man United are very interested in Morgan Rogers, but they don't want to get involved in a bidding war and they don't want to overpay. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? But I think with this £250 million, Morgan Rogers is very, very doable. I was doing the maths on this. If you've got £250 million, and that's what we, you know, the big story is this morning. If you buy Edison for 35 and say Fernandez for 55 and Tchouaméni for 70, what's that? 125, and then what was it? 35, 125. So about £160 million on Edison, Fernandez and Tchouaméni. £160 million. You've still got 90 left. But remember, we're not going to pay that full 165 straight away. Might be some installments on that. So we might only end up spending about 80 of that 160 in year one. And Morgan Rogers might be £80 million, but spread over 3 years. So that £250 million can go a long way, can go a very long way. But even if you spend 160 on those three midfielders, you can still buy Morgan Rogers for 80 and not bother with a left back and not bother with a left winger and not bother with a striker. So it is still massively doable for Manchester United to get Morgan Rogers. Now, what we're hearing is that Michael Carrick is a massive fan of Morgan Rogers, having had him at Middlesbrough. Jason Wilcox really likes Morgan Rogers because I think there's a Man City connection there somewhere. Also, he's homegrown. So there's a lot of ticks as to why Morgan Rogers could be coming to Manchester United. Now, I like the player. I can only report the news. I like the player. I don't think it reminds me of Mason Mount in the sense that do we need to do that deal? I mean, I could get two decent fullbacks, left back and a right back, and not get Morgan Rogers. And that to me is the mic drop, because as much as I like Morgan Rogers, I think the profile is very similar to Cunha. I don't think Bruno Fernandes is going anywhere. Mason Mount's not going anywhere. So where does Morgan Rogers go? It's £80 million for somebody that is going to bench somebody that's cost us a lot. Ultimately, if we sign Morgan Rogers, he's benching somebody we spent a lot of money on a year ago, or he's benching himself. And that's the way I look at it. Very good player, very exciting player. Certainly don't want to not sign him because I think he's shit. But if you buy Rogers and start him, you are definitely benching one of Sesko, Cunha and Mbeumo. And a year ago, we spent on average £60 million on each of them. So that doesn't make sense to me when you've got Luke Shaw and Dalot at fullback. So I would say maybe Morgan Rogers we skip, but and we spend that money on a right back and a left back. Because I tell you what, £80 million on Morgan Rogers, you will get two very good fullbacks at £40 million each. You'll get a very good fullback at £40 million. In fact, you might get a £50 million fullback and a £30 million fullback. So that's where I would spend the money, because I think if Man United do figure out what you can do at fullback, we'll be in for a very, very, very big, steep incline when it comes to Manchester United. Just on Tchouaméni as well, I think the reason Fevel has identified him is because he is the most prototype six on our list. Now, we don't necessarily have to play with a six. We play with a midfield pivot. We could play with two eights. We could split the role. But I think there is this acceptance that at the moment, and maybe forever, Mainoo is not mobile enough for the defensive side of the game. He might get better at that. He's still only 20. But at the moment, defensively, Mainoo isn't really that good. So do you put somebody who's experienced next to him who defensively is very switched on? And I think that's why Favell is probably pushing this, because Anderson's not experienced and isn't really a holding player. Tonali is experienced and I think he can do it, but he likes to move out of that position a lot and press high up the pitch. So that's probably why we're looking at Tchouaméni. I'll talk about Tonali next. I've got a few other players to talk about as well. My stomach's absolutely rumbling here. It could be an early end if it moves its way. May I just ask Morgan Rogers why? I feel our shortfalls need to be prioritised. It makes no sense, says Chad. I think Morgan Rogers is a player that we would not be talking about ordinarily if it wasn't for Michael Carrick and Wilcox, and their desire to bring him in. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean, going back to what we said before, that doesn't mean that Morgan Rogers hasn't been mentioned in the boardroom and Favell and Berarda have gone, yeah, if you can get the deal done, let's do it. That doesn't mean they're against it, but everybody will be pushing something. You know, if you've ever worked in an office environment or a boardroom environment everybody does now, meetings, somebody comes up with an idea. You know, it might be McDonald's employee monthly meeting and they talk about the summer do and someone says, let's go go-karting. Someone came up with the idea and then everyone else goes, that's a good idea, isn't it? So I don't know why United are so, you know, desperate to leak out to people that, oh no, it's all done together. No, it's not all done together. Somebody sparks the idea. Somebody comes in and says, we should sell this player or we should buy this player. And then it's just about how many people agree with it. And like I say, with Morgan Rogers, everybody might agree with it, but it's Carrick and Wilcox that are pushing it as their project because they really like the player. Why we're doing it, there might be a little bit of long-term thinking there. He's still relatively young. Bruno's obviously coming towards the end of his career. They might be thinking about, this is the player that we want for years to come. I don't know. Devart is good as long as decision is made. I don't know what you've said there, Emily.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Devart. And if you're going to have a board making decisions, one person cannot get it all their own way, says Emily Derry. Debate is good. That's what it is. Debate is good so long as a decision is made. And if you're going to have a board making decisions, one person cannot get it all their own way. Absolutely, Emily. Look, at the end of the day, if you need to go to war because you're under attack and you've got all your generals in a board and you say, we're not going to go to war until everybody agrees, you could still be talking when you get conquered. Somebody has to take the lead. The worst boardroom in the world is the one where we won't do anything until we all agree. There has to be a chain of command. You can work for agreement and you can listen to feedback, but I would say, you know, you walk into a room midday, we need to decide if we're going to sign Morgan Rogers. Start the meeting at 9 o'clock. There's a hard end to this meeting at 10:30. If we haven't decided, I'll make a decision. There has to be a chain of command. What signings does Wilcox get credit for, says Robert McCormack? I mean, look, we don't have the information on all of that. And I think you're probably being a little bit pedantic, Robert, which would be unlike you. I think if you listen to Cunha and Mbeumo, they were persuaded by Amorim. We know Le Mans was Tony Cotton. We know Sesko was Wilcox. Favell, Dorgu, I don't really know who pushed Dorgu. I think it might have been Favell because that just seems like him. But you know what, Robert? Is it Jason Wilcox's job to go out there and decide I want this player or not? You know, a lot of the time he should probably be getting information fed into him. I think Delap was because of Man City and his knowledge of Delap. I think that Delap deal probably haunts him a little bit because it was him. He had him at Man City. Ugarte, who was responsible for that? I don't know. I mean, we could make it up and say it was Wilcox, but it definitely wasn't Ten Hag. So I don't think that ultimately everybody has to take responsibility but somebody's in the position who makes the decisions. What do you think about Barcelona buying all players, says Yusuf? Well, I think Barcelona have taken a very intelligent approach to this summer transfer window in trying to sign players very, very quickly. I don't think it's looking good for Marcus Rashford, which means it's not looking good for us. I saw the update on Rashford yesterday. I think it came in from Sky as well, that Man United don't want him back. And if Barcelona don't want him, they'll find a solution elsewhere. But Man United don't want him back. I think that's really important, because what we have to do this summer is be logical, ruthless, and, you know, aggressive. If we waste time with Rashford, we will lose time with others. And we haven't got a lot of time. So if United are saying, look, we don't want Rashford back no matter what, that's a good thing, because it means that if Rashford doesn't get Barcelona, you know, there's no confusion. I don't think he wants to come back either. So he's got to find another solution. He's going to be in a very... Look, I feel... I think he's been... I don't know the situation, but I think Barcelona have done what's best for them. But I don't think, you know, I don't think they've treated Rashford particularly well. But Bayern Munich might be good for him. If I was his agent, I would be on to Bayern Munich, because Nicholas Jackson's not staying. They wanted Anthony Gordon. I think Bayern Munich would be a good place for Rashford. Swap Kane for Rashford, 60 million clause, proven striker, says Clayton. Yeah, Bayern Munich ain't stupid. And actually, one of the problems that I think Rashford had at Barcelona is apparently the wage. With Lewandowski leaving and Rashford leaving, somebody was saying that it's in excess of £600,000 a week in wages. Because, of course, Barcelona didn't pay us a loan fee, but they took on 100% of his wages. So, I mean, I don't know what the Barcelona wage bill is, but I should be able to. And look, it feeds into United, because United don't want this wage bill either. But these are just estimated wage bills at Barcelona. So you've got Lewandowski was on 400,000 euros a week. De Jong, 365. Rafinha, 320. Yamal, 320. Koundé, 300. Ter Stegen, 300. And then Rashford, obviously he's on about 300 as well, isn't he? So I think that they're obviously trying to reduce their wage bill down, aren't they? PSR is replaced with SER, allowing us to spend more, says Josh. Neil Welker, thank you very much for your super chat. Jack says mute bridge. I think it was muted for some people, but you just need to refresh. Obviously, that's a YouTube issue. Nothing we can do about that. Salah Mohamed says, why can't we sign Alex Scott? Well, we spoke a lot about Alex Scott last night, so I don't propose to talk about him on a new show. But you know, I think if he doesn't sign it, I think Bournemouth expect him to sign a new contract. If he doesn't sign a new contract, then maybe there's something that Manchester United can do there. But as I said, I think the interesting thing I wanted to talk about next was Tonali. So in relation to Tonali, a few things about him. But I thought there was an interesting update from The Athletic's Laurie Whitwell on this. And he said, look, earlier in the year with Tonali, it felt quite strong. We then got told that the price was just not something United could contemplate. There's been reports in Italy this week that he's on the agenda alongside Edison. I don't know if that's just from Italian origins, though, with that. It's sensed prior to this point that his price was beyond the realms of what United were willing to pay. And I think that's sort of where I am with Tonali. And that's where I think it has been with Tonali for quite a while. It feels like Man United have put themselves in a position where they aren't going to overspend, you know, and I think that sort of fits in with Anderson, doesn't it? You know, had a few people message me this morning about why Anderson would choose a Pep-less Man City who could be about to get charged over Man United, who are in the Champions League and could be on the bounce back. But if Man City are offering him 250 grand a week and Man United are offering him 150 grand a week, what would you do? It's not even about the money. It's about the devaluation. It's about how much you feel valued. So I think that with Manchester United and Tonali and Anderson, at the moment, it feels that those deals can't be done because we won't pay what needs to be paid because we don't value them at what other people value them. And there's no, it's like your dream house, isn't it? It's like your dream house that you've wanted all your life and it comes on the market and then you go, I'm going to offer you this. And then the estate agent says, yeah, but somebody else has offered a little bit more. And you go, yeah, but I met the owners. They really like me. And they go, yeah, look, they would like you to buy the house, but they're not going to sell it cheap to you when someone else is offering it at a better price. And ultimately you miss out then. And you might find another house, but will it be your dream house? And I think with United, we still are that football club because it's a business. And it is a business. It's not a passion. This is not Man United fans running Man United. This is a business. This is predominantly owned by American mercenaries who've got no interest in Manchester United Football Club other than making money out of it. Man United's a business and every decision is made from a business point of view. And unfortunately, when somebody says we should sign Tonali or Anderson, there is somebody else saying, yeah, I'd like to sign them, but we're not paying any more than this for them. And that becomes problematic because if there's nobody else, you can probably negotiate it. But if there's somebody else, you're not going to get it done. And look, whether you agree with me that Elliot Anderson and Tonali are worth 250 grand a week, I think they're worth 250 grand a week. We are replacing Casemiro. We are not replacing Luke Shaw. We are replacing Casemiro and we need a certain talent to come in and do that. A marquee signing. And a marquee signing deserves 250 grand a week. And if United are not willing to go north of 200, well, we're sleeping on that one. And I think that's where we are with it, to be honest with you. Let me just get rid of Joe. He's an idiot. There we go. Bye-bye, Joe. Everyone say bye-bye to Joe. Mbeumo, Sesko and Rodgers, how would you rate that forward line? No, Tonali is my pick. We should get him, says Sayan. Mbeumo, Sesko and Rodgers. Well, what happens to Ahmad? What happens to Cunha? What happens to Dorgu? I mean, I don't rate it because there are players there going that I would like to be starting. We don't need Rodgers. Robert's back. He says, point was, should he be fired if none are through him? Says Robert McCormack. No, look, I mean, I would have sacked Wilcox at Christmas. I think sacking Ten Hag and sacking Amrim cost us close to £30 million. In transfer fees, it cost us over half a billion. As director of football or being involved in that, he's cost Man United a lot of money. He's not very good at his job. I'd have sacked him. He's still there because obviously he's got his feet under the table and, you know, somebody's protecting him there, whether it's a Jim Radcliffe or whoever. So I don't think he's going to get sacked. But ultimately, as a director of football, you cannot share the load. And I saw a couple of people talking about it today saying it's, you know, it's all done together. It's all built together. They're all responsible for success and, you know, they all do it together. No, what a load of shit. I have never heard such crap in all my life. You know, you can't be the boss and then say, we're all in it together. We all succeed and fail together. Because I'd be like, you get paid more money than me. You're the director of football. I'm not. We're not all in it together. You're paid to make decisions. I'll present to you my opinions and then it's your job to decide what happens. It's like being the set piece coach or the, you know, the midfield coach or the fitness coach or the physio or the assistant coach. The manager can't go, we're all in it together. We're all in it together. Because you go, no, you've got them. If we're all in it together, then you be the fitness coach and I'll be the manager and then I'll make decisions. The director of football and the CEO, we're not all in it together. They're paid bigger money to make big decisions because in life, not everybody agrees on everything. When you go into a Champions League final like Arsenal tomorrow, Arteta won't sit in the dressing room and go, we're all in it together. Who should play at goalkeeper? Easy, Raya. Who should play at right back? Because Timber's injured. Oh, not so easy now. He says Mascara. He says someone else. No, you have to have a chain of command. And Wilcox, Berarda, are at the tip of this and they have to make decisions, which is why we didn't sign Sesko first in the summer. Certain people wanted Sesko. We didn't go for Sesko first. And that's fine. We ended up with Sesko, luckily. But there has to be a chain of command. Would they sell Ahmad if they sign Rodgers, says Alan. Ahmad's not going anywhere. I think some people would sell Ahmad, but he's not going anywhere. Green Team, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, if you have a million engine and need a 10p nut to make it work, how much is the nut really worth? It's a million, otherwise the engine won't work. Same with United midfield, pay the price and make it work. Yeah, you're never going to be successful. This is too low. You're never going to be successful if you... You're never going to be successful in competitive sport if you're going to set parameters on price. You won't be successful. Because at some point, to be successful, you have to say, we need this. We need this. It might be a little bit more expensive, but we need it. And United used to do that. We have done that. And I think we need to do it again. Cheaper to do Rashford's wages than buy Rodgers, says Remy. And Mark, honestly, Tonali, Fernandez, Edison, Rodgers and Vlahovic is a good window before pre-season, says Duke Studio. How much would that cost, do you think? Oh, I don't like that. I do not like. I had to read it again. I do not like that. Tonali, Fernandez, Edison, Rodgers, and Vlahovic. I do not like that. You can't slip Rodgers in and put a good midfield in there and make me like it. I do not like the signing of Rodgers because there's no fullbacks there. So I'm going into next season with Dalot and Luke Shaw. No, that for me doesn't work. Vlahovic will cost a lot of money as well. Duke Studio. Vlahovic, as a free agent, will want a lot of a signing on fee, as will his agent. Still only 26. He earns... bloody hell, that can't be right. It says here that his weekly salary is €427,000.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He's on a reported base salary of approximately 12 to 13 million euros per season net, which is around 370 grand a week. Fucking hell. He earns a lot of money. Yeah, forget that one, Duke. Derek says, hi, Mark. A potential signing we haven't talked about much for left wing is Abdi, mentioned by Ben Jacobs last three shows he was with us. I think he would be an amazing addition and cheap. What do you think? I obviously don't think much of it, Derek, because I haven't really listened to anything about that. So there's a name to be added into the chat. Chad, we've done that one as well. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Lee Berman says, I'm worried. Tonali, Anderson, Tchouaméni and maybe Bruno Guimaraes. But after that, I really don't see any alternatives out there. We have to get one of them. And Peacock says, the chain of command has Glazers at the top, though. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that. If I'm Favel and I really want to sign Stiller, which he is a fan of, I've got to get Carrick to agree. I've got to get Wilcox to agree. I've got to get Berarda to agree. Then Sir Jim Radcliffe to agree. And then I've got the Glazers to write the check. It's a very big chain of command at Man United. And, you know, that's why some players just don't make it through. But that's always been the case. I mean, we've had players 10 years ago that United, you know, didn't push forward on. And they went on to be good players. It's jobs for the boys, Mark. Rodgers would be the same, says Ross. And Scott over Fernandez due to homegrown rules, says Rich. I don't know about the homegrown rules. It doesn't seem to be something that's high on Man United's agenda. I mean, look, talking about Robert McCormack, I remember him talking in previous summers about the homegrown rule. It is still there. but it doesn't seem to be as prominent in Man United's thinking anymore. And I don't really know why.
Salah Mohammed says, why would Madrid sell a young, brilliant player like Tchouaméni? It's like Arsenal selling Saka, and I don't think the board is capable to do that deal. Probably because he knocked out their vice captain. He's not young, he's 26, and they want to buy better players. Doesn't mean they will do, but that could be a reason why. John United says, Rashford has more talent than Gordon, but it feels like attitude, not wages. That's why they'd rather go for Gordon despite Rashford's higher talent. And Cyan says, I've done that one. Okay, I just saw a chat in there, and I'm not going to name the name because I don't want him to get bullied. But somebody in the chat just said, I'd like to sign Liao and Baleba. Funnily enough, I actually do have a couple of updates on this. So first and foremost, let's talk about Liao first, the Portuguese winger at AC Milan. They are looking to move him on. Now, he's done an interview recently where he was asked about the Premier League and what his thoughts were on the Premier League. He said, yeah, of course I watch it. My favourite team is Manchester United. Hence what I said yesterday morning, the people in the community who love it when people are desperate to sign for Man United, get the pen and paper out, Rio Ferdinand style, and say, sign him up. Couldn't give a shit if Liao supports Man United. My postman supports Man United. Don't want him to play on the wing. I don't care about whether somebody prioritises Man United or loves Man United. I think it's become something, probably from the Ineos era, actually. They make a big deal of this. And a lot of our fans fall for it. Oh, Belaba's desperate to sign for Man United. Liao is desperate to sign for Man United. You know, Adam Wharton, who isn't, is desperate to sign Man United. If a story came out from Adam Wharton that he was desperate to sign for Man United, I guarantee you some people would put him ahead of Anderson and Tonali straight away. It's a smokescreen. I don't care whether you're desperate to support for play for Man United. I don't care if you supported Man United when you were a kid. How good are you at football and how consistent are you? How many boxes do you tick that are relevant? Because supporting Man United as a kid or wanting to come to Man United doesn't bother me. Are you a consistent performer? Are you somebody that's going to make us better? Are you, you know, capable of playing for Man United? Have you got that mentality? And I think when it comes down to Liao, this is a player that can't even establish himself in an AC Milan side or a Portuguese side. So all I see is a big risk. And look, if we sign him, as I always say, I'll always give a player a chance, but he supports Man United. Let's sign him up. I don't care. Memphis Depay was a massive Man United fan, remember? Oh, I've supported Man United since I was a kid. Used to do Instagram posts of retro Man United kits. Still does. Still people say, oh, I love Memphis. He wasn't good enough. Didn't have the right minerals to be a Man United player. So do I want Liao at Man United? No. I don't think he's good enough. I don't think there's a big queue from top clubs in Europe to sign Liao. So I don't know why we would. So for me, it's a no. And the fact that he supports Man United doesn't do it for me, I'm afraid. Do you think Anderson to City is basically done, says Johnny? No. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit stubborn. And I've always said I have a feeling that Anderson to Man United can happen. Reminds me a little bit of Hazard all those years ago, if anyone can remember. Hazard, before social media really kicked off, spent about 3 weeks flirting between Man City, Man United and Chelsea. And it worked because he sort of flirted on social on Twitter for 3 weeks and made you think he was going here, there and everywhere. And then he went to Chelsea, which Chelsea actually cheated to get, by the way. Remember that? Remember Chelsea? That bloody thing that happened about a month ago? Hazard was one of them players. So literally, Chelsea, I don't know what they got for it. They self-reported, so they didn't get a points deduction. Basically, Chelsea admitted that they'd paid extra money to agents to get players, and Hazard was one of them. And the Premier League completely and utterly missed the boat on that and went, oh, well, you self-reported, it's fine. Like, that was Man City, Man United and Chelsea for Hazard, who went on to be one of the Premier League's best players of that era.
And he's in them papers as a player that Chelsea paid illegal fees to agents for. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does fucking matter. I remember that summer. He'd have been bloody good for us. Anyway, I'm not bitter. But I always held out hope that we would get Hazard until he was holding up the Chelsea shirt. So although I will hold up hope with Anderson, but it's not looking great, let's be honest. Masraoui says, I don't know, your postman's got a wicked first step. Liao had a great A game, but generally goes missing, says Robert. Yeah, he's not the right sort of player for Man United. Yeah, too inconsistent. Shane Cook, that Welsh guy, says, hope we don't sign another big team reject who couldn't make it in their team. And Alan Noonan says, do you have anyone that they would sell outside the usual suspects, Mark? Thanks for all your work, team. Teamwork's hard work as well. Thank you, Alan. Hope you're having a good day. Not a Smurf, thank you very much for your super chat. Peacock says, I've heard your postman's good in the box. Do you think Anderson is basically done, says Johnny. Okay, we've done that one. Look, I think beyond potentially Xerxes and Ugarte and the usual suspects of people like Onana and Rashford, I don't think we're going to sell anybody else, which is a good point. It's all about incomings, but actually, where's the ruthlessness? You know, Maguire shouldn't have been given a contract, in my opinion. Deleu, we should be cashing in on. We should be doing whatever we can to get rid of Shaw and Mount. But then again, maybe that's why we're not bothered about homegrown players. Shaw and Mount are both homegrown, aren't they? And they're not going anywhere. We have a big chain of command and it's very slow and inefficient. And with a lot of people who are inexperienced, do not have enough expertise. No wonder we look like we dither at times, says Emily Derry. Yeah, we are very, very slow. I mean, look, this Edison deal should be done. It's Friday now. It's another week gone, isn't it? We took a week to do Carrick's contract. Edison could have been done a week ago. Yeah. Somebody just said, how is Mount homegrown? The fact that he played for England? Krista says, your postman always delivers in the red shirt. Loving these. I think we should buy Tonali, Edison, Kiode and Truffert, says Krista. I'd love Truffert. I definitely would. Razzler says, Hi Mark. Is it Tonali and Tchouaméni or one or the other? Oh no, it'd be one or the other. Yeah, we're not signing two out of Tonali, Tchouaméni and Anderson. It'll be one or the other. He also says Fernandez is a must. I'd prefer Scott, but I'd be happy with Fernandez or Scott, because ultimately, when it comes down to belabor, also in The Athletic, Laurie Whitwell was saying that, let me get it for you here. Is there interest in belabor? There was strong interest in belabor a few months ago, but it's been a lot cooler since that point. United could look past this season and different factors that went into it. Maybe Brighton are still demanding a significant amount of money, which United doesn't match United's value. He definitely has been somebody they continue to monitor, but maybe it's gone a little bit different way. It doesn't feel as warm as it did. That's good news. That's very good news, because we're starting to hear more and more with belabor that it's gone a little bit quiet, which for me is a huge, huge positive, because I think belabor is too much of a risk when it comes to United. I think we've got to look elsewhere. You know, as was said there, Fernandez or Scott or Tchouaméni or Tonali. If Edison's coming in, there can't be another. Risk, I suppose. And everybody's a risk, but I think if you get Edison and belabor, there's a lot of risk there. If you get Edison, Fernandez, Scott, Tchouaméni, Tonali, what, you know, I think it looks a lot better. Lewis says, I feel like the priority in this window is midfield, but I genuinely feel the fullback scenario is also important. Otherwise, it feels as if we are taking two steps forward and one step back. Lewis, I mean, look, I don't know how many of you are new. Please do subscribe if you are. We're live every morning at 10 o'clock, every night at 8 o'clock, and we have a 2 o'clock show for you as well. I think that when you look at what we were talking about probably since March, everybody knows the midfield for Manchester United is a big area of improvement. Absolutely. But the thinking man person talks about the fullbacks. Absolutely. And I absolutely agree. It's maybe something we're going to park next summer. But I think, and I think it might be next summer. You know, United do tend to leave something a year before solving it. The attack needed sorting not last summer, the summer before. The midfield needed sorting not this summer, last summer. So maybe they're going to go fullbacks for next year, which just shows you the ambition of the football club. We want to win the league by 2028, but we don't solve problems. So I think fullbacks is an area that needs to be sorted, but, you know, it's not where it should be. Hotometer. I need to show you the hotometer. Thank you very much, Jason. I feel like the priority, and I've done that one from Lewis. What about the defence? Marks as Pranay exactly fits in with that. Ian Chanley, welcome for Members Club. Thank you very much. I'm just trying to find a super chat here, which I thought I'd read, but Fraz is saying we missed it. So here it is. Should go in for DeMarco and Ryerson. Both good players, but both over 27. So probably not going to happen. Okay, if you stayed till the end, I did it on purpose. 13,000 legends get to see the updated hotometer. So if you don't know what the hotometer is, it's something we have on the morning show. It's meant to change more than it is, but we're still very early in the transfer window. So what the hotometer does is it ranks what we think are the seven most likely transfers for Man United at this moment in time, and it gives them a heat score. If it's 10, it's done. If it's 9, it's hotter than the sun and it's getting very close. So let's have a look at the hotometer as it stands, new and updated today. There it is. So as you can see, Ederson is 9 and is very, very hot at the moment. So we're giving him a 9 out of 10, effectively a 90% chance. We've then got Fernandes and Anderson at 7. Now, some people would say, oh, why is Anderson so high? Because ultimately, although he could be a 9 on a City hotometer, which they haven't got because they haven't got any fan channels that anybody watches, I'd probably say 9 to City, but we are in the race. So I'll give it a 7. It's not, we are in the race for Anderson. He's our priority. So I think he's got a score high. But is it getting cooler? We'll find out. Fernandes, look, I think a 7 is fair for him at the moment. We're definitely looking at him. He's definitely in consideration. Tchouaméni, I'd put as a 6. Again, dream target. We really like him, but there's a lot of uncertainty about that. Is he going to leave? Are Real Madrid going to keep him? We've got to wait on the presidential elections as well. So I'll probably say a 6. Belaiba, I'd like to put down to a 1, but I'd say a 5 at the moment. 50-50 chance. And then Rodgers and Scott, you could put them on a 5, but I think at the moment Scott could sign a new contract, so let's keep him on a 4 at the moment. And Rodgers, as much as I think Carrick and co do like Morgan Rodgers, I think also Arsenal are looking at him, and especially with Alvarez probably going to Barcelona, I feel like Arsenal might move for Rodgers as well, which makes it doesn't matter whether Wilcox or Carrick or Favell like Rodgers. Ultimately, they'll go to the money men and say, we really want Rodgers. And they will go, well, we're not paying what Arsenal are paying. And that'll be the end of that, which is what's happening with Tonali and which is what is happening with Anderson. Why is Tonali not there? Because I personally have made a decision. There is a chain of command. And I have decided that Tonali's not going to be on there, which is what a chain of command does. I have not put Tonali on there because I think United have priced him out. I think they've said, we don't want to pay for it. So until, I think Tonali feels like a fan theory. I don't think it's a theory that the club followed, if I'm being honest. Any updates on Fernandes, says Razzler? Nothing other than we're interested. And we are interested, but nothing more than that at the moment. I thought about Rodgers and the fact that he's benching someone if he joins. Don't really have a problem with that. Like Arsenal with Eze can work. I don't know, says Elliot. No. There's nothing wrong with signing Morgan Rodgers and benching somebody if there aren't any other issues in the team. If we had 2 good fullbacks and we had a good midfield and a good backup striker, and we had £100 million to spend, I'd say go and get Morgan Rodgers. Why not? Build the squad out. But don't build the squad out before you build the first team 11 out, you know? Hope we swap Enzo Fernandez for Tchouaméni. This is Max. The Chelsea stand is back. There we go. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Lots tuning in, as always. Lots going on. I am live with you again at 8 o'clock tonight. We do have a 2 o'clock show for you as well. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel if you haven't done that already. We're very close to 266,000. I just need to update that. I hope you all have a great day, evening, whatever you're doing, and we'll catch you later. Stay safe, take care. And who knows, we could get a Here We Go on Edison today, but it is United, so it'll probably be another few weeks yet. I did say before the World Cup, thanks for watching.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.